It's my pleasure to introduce the one and only, the creator of Speed Seduction, the massively talented and hugely charismatic Ross Jeffries. Yay!
Thank you. I am wonderfully talented and hugely charismatic. And I want to start off by thanking everyone who called in. And also I want to thank the thousands of people who are listening via the simultaneous webcast. I'm really excited about that possibility that we can now get literally thousands of people listening and participating. I want to thank all the people who submitted questions. Now, I got well over 150 questions. Remember, the topic of this seminar is how to triple or quadruple your pickup success. And about 40% of the questions I got, they were good questions, but they had nothing to do with this subject matter or this topic. So I'm sorry, I'll get to those questions in a future teleseminar, perhaps a podcast or a newsletter, but obviously I'm not going to be addressing them on this call. The call will last for 90 minutes, and it will be rebroadcast. And at the end of the call, I'm going to tell you about a special package offer I have for listeners and participants in this call. It's only going to be good for 12 hours. I'll tell you where to go to find out more about it. Here's what's going to happen, the structure of the call. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to spend about 15 to 20 minutes going over some basic principles. Then I'm going to give you some examples of some really good pickup slash walk-ups, including one I just did today. I actually picked up a beautiful 20-year-old actress using a blurt out. And then I'm going to answer the questions that you pre-submitted, and then, time permitting, I will unmute the line, and I'll try to take some questions live. So let me first of all get started by talking about something that's intimately related to pick up and walk up, which is having the confidence to do it. About 25% of the relevant on-topic questions that you pre-submitted took the form of something like this. Whenever I see a woman I'd like to approach, I freeze up, or I shake, or I just can't say anything, or I just can't get myself to approach women. I have some of the products, but I just can't do it. How do I overcome this crippling fear? So before we get to the actual principles of pickup, I want to just very briefly outline three different kinds of confidence that you can use at any given time to make the ability to meet women anytime, anywhere very easy, so you never have to be fearful again. First, let me give you a little bit of my personal history. I know it may seem hard to believe, but I actually not only had no skills in this, but I actually think I had negative skills. Just like there are negative numbers, minus 10, minus 20, I think I must have been like minus a million when it came to meeting women. But one summer, when I was 19 years old, I made a very critical decision. I decided that I would rather die than stay fearful of women. So what I decided is that I was going to spend the summer getting over my fear. Now, I did it the hard way. I literally forced myself to do it, which I don't think is a very smart thing, but that's what I did. And so what I did is I went to a shopping mall, and I forced myself to approach women. And I want to tell you that the first six or seven times, I actually threw up. I got so nervous that I threw up, and I couldn't walk up because I was literally had barf on my shoes. And I'm not that radical a pickup artist. So I want to say to anyone who's listening to this call who up until this moment has experienced some significant fear when it comes to approaching women that I have been there. I really have been there. I know what it feels like. I know how frustrating and confusing it is. And I promise you that I will begin at least on this call at least to introduce you to some tools that you can use. So before we get into the actual pickup and walk up and some ways to do that and never have to worry about what to say, let me talk about three kinds of confidence that can be available to you. The first kind of confidence is what I call performance confidence. Now, performance confidence simply means you've done things 1,000 times before, and you've done them very well 1,000 times before. So it just makes logical good sense that 1,001, you'll do well. I'm sure that makes sense as you're there listening to it. Now, of course, the challenge with performance confidence is if you're stepping into an area of life that's brand new, or even more challenging, an area of life that's presented real difficulties for you, it's impossible to have performance confidence. What you can do to begin to have some performance confidence, even in a very difficult area, is to chunk down. Let me use an NLP piece of jargon. I don't like jargon very much, but I will use this term. To chunk down is simply to divide and conquer, to split things into smaller little subtasks or one way in which you can get performance confidence, even in an area where you've not done very well before, is to think of what's the smallest little piece that I can do right now, the smallest little piece. You can break things down into small little gradient chunks. Now, I don't like this approach personally. And the reason, it's certainly better than doing nothing and being paralyzed. But the reason that I don't particularly like this approach is it takes a long time, a really long time. But you could do it. For example, if you're afraid of walking up to beautiful women, you could, as a good first step, at least put yourself in a location where beautiful women are walking around. Then maybe the next small step would be, okay, you will pull your pants up and stop masturbating in front of them. No, I'm just kidding. You could see, so that approach of trying to get performance confidence before is, I don't particularly like it. You could do it that way. The second kind of confidence that actually can work quite well, We have incoming questions coming in now. It's amazing. people are still submitting them. I can see them on my computer screen. The next kind of confidence that I think everyone can benefit from is what I call rehearsal confidence. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Rehearsal confidence means that you put your mind in like a little bit of an altered state, and I don't mean smoking dope or sniffing glue. You use one of the trance inductions or the trance methods that I teach in my various different products. We can go through those if you'd like. And you get yourself in a state where you believe anything can be possible. I told someone once to imagine that all their limiting beliefs, all their limiting imagery was like a wetsuit. And I had them actually take their hand and make the same movement as if they were unzipping a wetsuit and imagine peeling it off your body and then throwing it into the fire. And now that doesn't seem to make any logical sense, but it actually worked for this person. And parenthetically, let me say one thing. Some of the concepts I'll introduce to you on this call will seem immediately familiar. You'll immediately agree with them, and you instantly, easily, and immediately, and effortlessly understand that you can do them. Some of the concepts will be not so familiar and a little bit out there, but some of them will appear absolutely crazy. You'll think to yourself, that's ridiculous, that's ludicrous, it's completely irrational, it couldn't possibly work. Those are the ones that you should train yourself to look at as being gold. Those are the hidden diamonds, because never, ever, ever underestimate the power of the absurd and the symbolic to solve challenges that your logical mind just couldn't work out. Never underestimate it, because it works quite powerfully. Anyway, I had this guy imagine that he was taking off all of his fears and old limiting beliefs like a wetsuit. I had him actually make the movement and toss it into the fire. And then I had him imagine acting the way he wanted to act, feeling the same flow of feelings in his body. I had him imagine the way he would look. I had him speak the way he would speak. I had him move the way he would move. I had him very vividly rehearse. Now, rehearsal confidence is very useful. I have a great product that actually not only has you rehearse, but literally shifts your energy and your vibe, my Fear to Charisma DVD. But the important thing is, yes, rehearsal confidence can work. But here's the trap. About 20 to 30% of you, I would not recommend rehearsal confidence very much, maybe a little bit of it. And here's the reason why. Many of you are already too much in your head anyway. I have a student who, when he came to see me, he literally had a 300-page notebook with every post I'd ever made on the Internet and in our own Yahoo group for the past 5 years. No, it went back to the year 2000, excuse me. It was like 300, 350 pages. He had studied everyone and memorized everything I'd ever written in the last 6 or 7 years, but he couldn't do anything. He still hadn't approached any women. And so for many of you, the real challenge is that the ratio between how much you think about this and how much you actually do is way out of whack. For every one unit of action, you have 150 or 200 or 3,000 units of being in your head. So for you guys, having you do too much rehearsal confidence can actually be a problem because it just gives you one more thing to ruminate on. And that can be a difficult thing. So there's another kind of confidence that any one of you can use right now, immediately, and it's what I call acceptance confidence. Now, let me define what I mean by acceptance confidence. Acceptance confidence is, another way to put it is neutrality. You simply stick to the facts of the situation without spinning a lot of drama around it. Let me give you an example of what I mean. Let's say you see a beautiful woman and you'd like to go meet her, but you don't know what to say and you're not sure what will happen. So acceptance confidence would simply stick to the facts. It would simply say, I'd like to meet that woman. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't like the fact that I don't know what's going to happen. And let's go talk to her, have some fun. At the very least, I'll learn something. That's acceptance confidence. You stick to the facts. I'd like to talk to that woman. I'm not sure what will happen. I don't like the fact that I don't know what's going to happen. And let's go talk to her. Maybe we'll have some fun. At the very least, we'll learn something. That's all factual, completely factual. And remember, and also it glues to it a choice to move into action. And let's go talk to her and see what happens. So notice the difference between that and getting into drama, saying, I'd like to talk to her. Oh, my God, I don't know what's going to happen. Making pictures in your head of her rejecting you and everyone laughing as you shrink down to the size of an ant or an insect. I actually had a client who came to me and told me that he visualized himself shrinking when he saw a woman who he wanted to approach. So acceptance confidence means simply sticking to the facts. And believe it or not, it can actually be quite attractive. Even if you're not slick, even if you're not skilled, the willingness to step into the unknown, the willingness to experience some discomfort and step into the unknown is actually very attractive. If you can step into the unknown, step into behavior that's not particularly comfortable, and be okay with the fact that you don't know what's going to happen, then you're ahead of 99% of the people in the world. The ability and the willingness to step outside of your comfort zone and be totally okay with it is actually quite attractive. Because, first of all, it's unthreatening. And second, people would like to be able to do that. I can guarantee you that that beautiful woman who used to intimidate you has areas of her life where she'd like to take a risk, but she's afraid. And the fact that you're willing to step into areas where you're uncomfortable and you're okay with it is actually very attractive. It's a very admirable trait. And it allows you to actually be attractive even when you're not particularly smooth, you're not particularly slick, and you're nowhere near what the Pooh's would call an alpha male. Now, I'm not saying that social skills are something you shouldn't aim at. Of course they are, but you don't have to wait. So those are three kinds of confidence that you can put into a certain mix, depending on where you're at with the skill set. If you're brand new, I would recommend, you know, you lean on rehearsal confidence and acceptance confidence. If you've got some good level of skill, then you can mix them up. So that's the first part that I want you guys to understand. Now, I want to give you some of my beliefs. Before I get into actual techniques, I want to give you some of the beliefs that enable me to do what I do. And I can do some pretty amazing stuff. Lisa, are you still on the call?
I am.
Now, Lisa has seen me do some stuff. I should tell you guys, I'm 48 years old, and I'm okay looking, but I'm not the best looking guy, even though Lisa thinks I'm stunningly handsome. Right, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not. But at my seminar in March, which, by the way, we'll come out with a product soon, I had an 18-year-old girl on stage named Taylor. Now, Taylor, Lisa, you describe Taylor. Go ahead.
Oh, she's an attractive, pretty 18-year-old, and, the contrast is very apparent.
Yeah, she's absolutely... she absolutely is much more attractive than I am to look at. But because of my beliefs and what I'm able to do, I had Taylor, and when we release the product, we're going to put out some promotional video first on the website. You'll see Taylor pretty much coming on stage. Would you say that's close to being true, Lisa? She was definitely aroused.
She was definitely aroused. I have to admit, I was just waiting for you to go at it. That's all I was missing.
Yeah, well, but I couldn't do her on stage, although, you know, actually, with all those cameras rolling,
sure, you're
but see, here's my point. I don't say this to brag. I say this to assure you guys that with the right technology and the right set of understandings, and most importantly, the right beliefs, you can do things that seem to be impossible, that seem miraculous. So let me share with you some of my beliefs that enable my walk-up skills and then my seduction skills to really be things that are either miraculous or disgusting, depending on your perspective and your viewpoint. I've had people, you know, like get right in my face for being with women who are 18, 19, 20 years old. Like, what's the matter with you? Are you threatened by mature women? No, I'm not threatened. I'm just not particularly turned on either. But sometimes I am. Anyway, so let me give you some beliefs that are very useful for doing these walk-ups. And then we'll get into the actual techniques, and I'll answer your specific questions that you pre-submitted. One of my very strong beliefs, and this is very powerful, is I seldom take a woman's first response to me as written in stone. It's usually only a reflection of what she's thinking, feeling, or believing in that moment, and it's almost always subject to change. I'll say it again. I almost never take a woman's first response to me as being written in stone. It's almost always just a reflection of what she's thinking, feeling, or believing in that moment, and it's almost always subject to change. Now, because I have this belief, and I really strongly believe it, that belief directs my attention. It tells me what to pay attention to. It tells me what to ignore, because when you want to get good at something, you should be ignoring the same things that the master is ignoring. It teaches me what to pay attention to. It tells me what to ignore. It tells me what behaviors to do. It allows me to control my flow of energy, and yes, I do believe in energy, even though I'm not a new age tofu eating, miso soup gargling, braiding my underarm here, a hippie. It's a very, very powerful belief. I seldom take her first responses written in stone. That's only a reflection of what she's thinking, feeling, or believing in that moment, almost always subject to change. So because of that, I don't let a woman's first response throw me. And in fact, I can take her first response and turn it around and make it into something that actually serves the seduction. Now, let me give you an illustration with a story. I was hanging out with a student about a year and a half ago. We were coming out of a restaurant that has a very busy, very popular lounge area. It's about 1 in the morning. And I spotted two very attractive women waiting for a cab. They were waiting by the taxi area. And I said, just kidding around, I said to my student, look, it's two lovely young women waiting for a ride home at the end of the evening. Now, for some reason, and I'm not sure exactly why, it went in the wrong way with one of the girls. I don't know why, but she got very angry, and she said, look, it's two fucking drunk guys desperate to get laid saying something stupid at the end of the evening. Now, my student actually got very angry. I could see him tense up, and he moved forward like as if he was going to yell at her, and I put my arm out. And I stopped him. I said, no. No matter what they do, we always respond with compassion. I pointed to her, and I said very loudly so she could hear it. I looked right at her. I pointed to her. I said, she's someone's sister. She's someone's aunt. She's someone's best friend. She's someone's daughter. Somewhere, she's deeply loved. And you could have heard a pin drop for a moment. And then one of them started to, like, cry, and the other one said, oh, my God. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. We're so sorry. Guys have been hitting on us all night. They've been drunk. They've been grabbing our asses. What's your name? And I said, my name is Mr. Marvelous, and this is Mr. Miracle. And then we just turned around and we walked off. Now, had I been in a mood, we could have easily turned that into a really successful Sarge. I didn't take her first response as being about me. And because of that, I was able to discharge the situation. So there are a couple of beliefs now that grow out of that belief. The next belief I'll share with you is anything she offers me is just information that I can use. For example, if she says to me, well, you know, I have a boyfriend, instead of getting all upset about it, I could say, really? So tell me something. When you first met him, was it the kind of thing where you realized you want this person right now, right away? Or is it the kind of thing where after talking with him for a short while, you thought to yourself, this is it. It's on now. Now, guys, you see what I'm doing. I'm taking her objection and using it as an opportunity to implant suggestions and seed her mind for a different set of responses. So anything she offers me, it's just information I can use. The next belief I want to share with you is anything she offers me is just a toy for me to play with. Now, what do I mean by this one? Well, I remember I was pulling out of a restaurant near my house. I picked up my car, and there were some lovely ladies waiting for their car. And I had the top down of my car because it's a convertible. And I said, did you enjoy your lunch, girls? And the really good-looking one, there were two of them. One was what we call in the community a war pig. A war pig is someone who looks like the south end of a flock of ducks flying north. The other one was quite physically attractive. At least, sorry, Lisa. Lisa is gasping at all this. Lisa is my marketing director, and an absolutely brilliant one at that. Thank you, Lisa. Well, I appreciate you. You do great work. Wow, the questions are flying in. Wow, I can't believe this. We have like a zillion people on this thing. I'm really excited. Anyway, so one of them, the pretty one, started giving the attitude. She like sneered at me, and I stopped the car, and I imitated her facial expression. And then I said out loud, "How dare you speak to someone as beautiful as I? How dare you?" And they both busted up laughing because I took her nonverbal behavior, I exaggerated it back to her, and then I verbalized what she was thinking. And they both started laughing, and I said, "You see, I busted your friend on her bitchy behavior." And then it so happens that I needed to drive off because I was stopping traffic. But I've been in that similar kind of situation many times before and picked up many women by simply reflecting back their behavior in a funny way. But again, it's because I didn't take the first responses written in stone. And the final one I'm going to go to before I start getting to the actual meat of this is anything they offer me is just energy that I can redirect. Now, I actually do believe in vibe. I do believe in energy, as you'll find out shortly. And so if they give me an angry vibe, I'm not going to take it seriously. I'm not going to take that energy into my body and get angry back. I'm simply going to recognize that it's not about me, that, in fact, she fundamentally is the same as I am. And this is really good. Let me give you one visualization that even the most shy person on this call, the most fearful person on this call, or the most confident person on this call, however you measure that, can use right now, tonight, which is the next time you walk into a room or a situation where there's a lot of people and there's women you want to meet, stop and very briefly visualize every person in that room, visualize their heart beating. Visualize every one of them and imagine you can see their hearts beating. And then I want you to imagine what were they wearing when they were born and what's going to happen to them one day. And when you do that, what actually happens is you realize that they're in the same fundamental condition that you are. Just because someone has something you want or you perceive that you need doesn't make them any more or less or less human than you are. And just because you want something that they have doesn't make you any less or more human than they are. If you can somewhere in the back of your mind, just a little bit in the back of your mind, hold that thought that fundamentally everyone was born wearing the same thing you are, and fundamentally, one day they're all going to die, and that fundamentally we're all in the same boat. What happens is it becomes very difficult to fear or resent someone who's in the same condition that you are. And that's actually what I call a fourth kind of confidence. It's compassion confidence. It's the confidence that arises out of a compassion that's not sentimental. I don't mean you should visualize the holy white light of Jesus flooding through your orifices and filling up the other person. But it's a fourth kind of confidence I call it. Lisa's like, "Oh, God, your metaphors are sick, Ross." But it's a fourth kind of confidence called compassion confidence. It's the confidence that comes from realizing that people, whether you like them or dislike them, whether you're filled with zipper-melting lust or you're disgusted by them, that people are fundamentally in the same condition that you are. We're all in the same boat, and in between coming out naked at birth and taking our last breath, in between it, we're just trying to figure out how it all works. So that's the fourth kind of confidence. It's confidence through compassion. And again, it's not a big, heavy deal. You don't keep thinking this all evening long. It's just a moment before you walk into the venue, pause a moment and have that consideration. And then imagine you're putting it in the back of your mind somewhere to float around back there. Okay, so that is my little lecture on confidence. The other thing I'll say to you really fearful guys is when things don't go right, when things go wrong, 99% of the time when they do go wrong, the worst that can happen is nothing will happen. I'm going to say that again. For those of you who up until this call have been really fearful, what I want to tell you is 99% of the time when things do go wrong, I'm not saying things will go wrong 99% of the time, but when they do go wrong, 99% of the time, the worst that will happen is nothing will happen. She's not going to yell at you. Her friends aren't going to laugh at you. She's not going to call the cops. There's not going to be someone beating you up. 99% of the time, the worst that will happen is if she's not interested, she'll simply ignore you. She won't say anything. Or she'll give you a very disinterested thank you very much. So that's it. The image you may have in your mind of a woman, women being really cruel and looking to hurt you and looking to reject you is almost always just a Hollywood fantasy. It's a Hollywood stereotype. It has no more reality than Hollywood portrayals of mafioso or cops. It just it has no connection to reality. So you guys should put your minds at ease and realize that and just relax into the process. Okay, so now that we've gone through all that, and I do want to say I don't do that to pad out the call. I do it because I really think that having that foundational confidence, having that foundational willingness to learn, that willingness to learn will really power you through a lot of difficult situations. So many people are so focused on success that they're missing the chance to really learn because they only stick with things that have worked for them before, or even worse, they stick with things that haven't worked and they try them harder or more frequently or with more volume. So I really want you guys to set aside the orientation that says, I've got to get this girl tonight or I've got to get a girl tonight. Drop that and begin to focus on the determination to learn what you need to learn. Now, one of my beliefs is that I'll either get what I want or I'll enjoy the process of learning what I need to get what I want or even better. And when you can take on that belief and really make it very fundamentally real for you, then you'll find that you can power yourself very elegantly through a lot of situations where you may not have great skill. Okay, so that's all out of the way. Let me get to the fundamental theory of walk-ups as I teach them. And let me just say, when you do this right, you don't always have to walk up. Sometimes the women actually walk over to you, which is a really good side bonus. But let me talk about this. Fundamentally, I teach that whether it's in the initial introduction when you first meet a woman, a walk-up or a pickup, whatever you want to call it, or it's the middle zone where you're getting her attracted to you, or it's when you're actually finally doing the seduction, or it's when you're enjoying the relationship at whatever level you want to take it. There are only four fundamental energies that attract women. And again, I don't care if it's the initial thing coming out of your mouth, the initial first couple of minutes, or it's in the middle of the game, or it's when you're taking off her clothes, or if you choose to see her for any period of time. These four energies are what actually attract women. Whether you thought you had to be good-looking or young, a lot of the questions I got about, by the way, about 15%, Lisa, this will interest you, I got questions from guys saying, I'm 50, I'm 55, I look like I'm 40, but I want to pick up women who are 20. How do I do that? So, I can do that, and I did that today. I'm going to share that technique with you guys. But, by the way, I just want to say one thing. If you go to speedseduction.biz, if you go to speedseduction.biz, we have a very special offer. We have our triple threat offer where we're going to offer the Gold Walk-Up DVD, the Fear to Charisma DVD, and the Irresistible Arousal DVD. And this really covers all three areas. How to have the kind of confidence where you can talk to anyone anytime, that's the Fear to Charisma. How to approach women so you never have to worry about what to say, that's the Gold Walk-Up DVD. And then there's the Irresistible Arousal DVD, where I will demonstrate three simple touches. You'll see video of me doing this on two very hot women. Three simple touches you can use to get women steaming hot within the first few minutes of meeting. But anyway, there are four fundamental energies, and here they are, guys. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how good-looking or how butt-ugly you are. If you look like something that should be living under a bridge, here are the four energies. The first energy, the first vibe, the first attitude is being commanding, being a leader. Being someone who can set a very strong lead. And the fundamental belief that I put behind that is, hey, I'm not your girlfriend with a penis. I'm a guy. At some point, I could fuck you, and I'm also going to make sure you're safe. So I'll say it again. The fundamental belief behind being a leader is, hey, I'm not your girlfriend with a penis. I'm a guy. At some point, I could fuck you, and I'm also going to make sure that you're safe. This is the attitude of being a leader, of being dominant, without being domineering. I didn't say being domineering. Being domineering shows no respect for the other person. Being dominant simply means you're the one who is controlling the direction of the interaction. That's all it means. You can be dominant and you can still be a fun and friendly person. Think of the difference between an emperor and a tyrant. They will both walk into the room as if they're used to being obeyed. An emperor and a tyrant will both enter the same room, giving off the vibe that they're used to being obeyed. People will fear the tyrant, but they don't really respect them, and there's no real loyalty. With the emperor expects to be obeyed, but the emperor also has tremendous generosity and many gifts to give. So many of us have had the experience of dealing with authority figures who pretended to be emperors, but in fact, they were tyrants. And because of that, we have had challenges with being powerful. What I'm here to tell you is you can be powerful and kind. You can be powerful and have many gifts to give. So that's the first energy. Now, here's the challenge. This is what a lot of the PUAs would call being an alpha male. The challenge is, if this is the only thing you know how to do, then you're limited. You're limited because while it will attract women, usually by itself, it's not enough. Now, if you happen to be really good looking or you have to be happen to be a woman's type or something like that, it'll be more than enough. But for most of us, that one energy is not enough. The second energy is what I call being playful, fun, introducing the idea that around you she can feel like a kid, she can laugh again. This is something that I'm naturally good at. Some of you need some lessons in lightening up, and I can offer some suggestions a little bit later in the call. But that is the second energy. The third one is what I call demonstrating authority or demonstrating understanding, expertise in her world. In a moment, I'm going to tell you how I picked up this beautiful 20-year-old actress slash singer today in a matter of 5 minutes and had her asking me how she could call me. I never even made the offer. She asked me. I'm going to tell you how I did it, combining these different energies. But demonstrating authority in her world can be done on a lot of different levels. It simply means that you show her that you understand what she's going through. Let me give you an example. Someone asked this question. How do you pick up a woman when she's in an obvious hurry and is leaving the location after you said hello to her? Well, the only way I've found to do it that's at all effective is to demonstrate that you understand. Is to say something like that. Hey, you know, I have to get out of here, and it looks like you're about to leave too. So I'm just wondering, what steps can we take to make sure we get to talk again? But rather than just saying, what steps can we take to make sure we get to talk again, when you do that first part, when you demonstrate that you understand the situation that's going on, it creates rapport. So there are various different levels at which you can demonstrate an authority and understanding of her world. Now, in the Gold Walk-Up DVD, I go into the four different ways you can do this. There are actually four different levels of demonstrating understanding. So that is the third vibe. So there's being commanding slash dominant. There's being funny and playful, showing that you have a joy in your life that's independent of how people think about you and independent of your external circumstances. That's really attractive. Let me draw that distinction. It's one thing to be a loudmouth alpha male who's the life of the party, tells lots of funny stories, and makes everybody laugh. But I really realistically don't think everyone has the personality to get that way. I also don't think it's necessary. It's not necessary. You don't have to be screamingly funny. Now, I happen to have the gift of being very funny. Right, Lisa?
Of course. You know, when you don't mean to be.
But you don't need it. You really don't need it. It simply is the idea that you know how to have fun and to enjoy life no matter what people think of you and independent of your life circumstances. That's a lot different than what the alpha male PUA people are teaching you. They're teaching you have this exciting life where you skydive and you go ice climbing and you wrestle tigers and you fly your own private jet. You know, hey, if you can live that kind of lifestyle, more power to you. But most of us have to work. We have to clean up after our cats and we have to pay the bills. And we're not really up to that kind of lifestyle. But everyone with the right kind of practices can find a way of approaching life, no matter what style you happen to be living it in. You can find a way of approaching life where you have a happiness and a joy about you, independent of your circumstances, and totally independent of how people are thinking about you in any given time. Now, if you happen to be really high-powered, high-wattage, life of the party, great storyteller, more power to you. I know how to do that. But I also think you can be very calm and fun and still come from that vibe. The final vibe is what I call simply being vulnerable. And that just means, I don't mean that means whining about how you wish you could grow up to menstruate one day and how much you love watching Oprah Winfrey. You know, and how you miss your Cub Scout uniform from when you were a kid. I don't mean sentiment. I don't like sentiment. I'm not talking about being sentimental. I simply mean speaking your truth. Very early on, I think the issue of establishing trust with women is very important. But counterintuitively, what most guys do to establish trust doesn't work. It just makes women mistrust us more. What most guys think will work is simply agreeing with her, saying, oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, you like music? I like music, too. Oh, you like cats? I like cats. I have this cat named Beaver, and Beaver once fell off my balcony, and then I had to call my niece, and she blah, 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 blah. But in fact, to me, vulnerable simply means sharing your truth at the moment, including being angry if you're angry. If you can demonstrate to a woman that she did something that you're not happy with, do it without calling her names. Don't call names, don't attack, but simply demonstrate that you're willing to stand up for your rules and your boundaries. It creates trust. Because what guy in his right mind would risk offending a woman, saying something that would chase her away, just as a strategy to get into her pants? So actually, the belief behind this energy is the following. Speaking my truth is more important than getting into your pants. Speaking my truth is more important to me than getting into your pants. Now, guys, for God's sake, you don't verbalize that belief. You don't walk up to her and say, did you know that speaking my truth is more important to me than getting into your pants? Although, come to think of it, as a put-on, it might not be a bad thing. What do you think, Lisa?
It could work, I guess.
Okay. So, by the way, the questions are still pouring in. Guys, do not write me any more questions. I can't answer the ones you've asked. I already have far too many. So those are the four attraction vibes, the four attraction attitudes, the four attraction energies. And we want to be using them from the very moment we first walk up to a woman, through the mid-game, through the actual seduction, and all the time when we're still around her, whether we get married, whether it's a one-night stand, whatever. Okay. So now here's the real trick, guys. The real trick to using this is what I call the F word. What would it be worth it to you if I gave you one simple concept which would enable you to walk through the world of women with unbelievable power, to stride like a colossus where most men trip over their own feet? Be very powerful. Well, the concept is, you've heard it before, but I'll say it again, fractionation. That when you can move back and forth between these different energies, you don't stay stuck in one, but you move among them. Then you, instead of offering one approach, you offer women a kaleidoscope of possibilities to become attracted to you. And because she can't pin you down, she can't say, oh, he's a confident guy, because then you go to being vulnerable, but then you go to understanding her, and then you go to being playful. When she can't pin you down, you fractionate her back and forth between these different energies. What happens is these different energies don't add together. They multiply. So if you have 10 points of attractiveness for being commanding, 10 points of attractiveness for demonstrating understanding, 10 points of attractiveness for being playful, and 10 points of attractiveness for speaking your truth, for being vulnerable, it's not 10 plus 10 plus 10 plus 10, 40. It's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. It's 10,000. Points of attractiveness just by using your energy and attitude before you even say a word. So those are the four ones. Now let me give you some specific examples and then we'll get to your questions. Let me tell you how I picked up this girl today. I used what I call the blurt out. The blurt out is when you simply say the first thing that comes to your mind, and the blurt out works when you're walking towards her and she's walking towards you. So in terms of physicality, the way it works is, and some guys ask me this, Ross, how do you approach a woman, how do you talk to a woman when she's walking towards you and you're walking towards her and you only have a second to get her to stop? So I use the blurt out, and I use it as a put-on. A put-on is simply saying something that is done to make her laugh. So As she was walking towards me, she got within about 5 feet of me, and I said the following thing, guys. This has worked for me twice now. I picked up a 27-year-old smoking hot Romanian last week using the same approach. As she was walking towards me, she got within 5 foot, and I said the following thing. I said, I picked the wrong sidewalk to be gay. Now, she busted up laughing. And she said, oh, my God, thank you. That was the sweetest thing. And then I looked at her and I said, you know, let me just say, I don't think that tube top really flatters you. It makes your doesn't make your boobs look as good as they could look. She said, what do you mean? And I said, may I? She said, sure. So I actually reached out and lifted up her breast. I said, you want to wear something that kind of lifts them up a little bit? And she and I swear to you, this is what actually happened. And she was cracking up laughing. And then I switched over to being very commanding. I said, turn around. Stand up like this. I actually changed her posture. I said, no. Put your feet like this. I actually gave her a few very simple commands under the pretense that I wanted to correct her posture. But by being commanding like that, switching from being funny, you know, saying, hey, you know, I picked the wrong street to be gay, and then being commanding, giving her some simple commands of how to stand, how to move, and then I started to read her intuitively. I said, you know what? I get the sense that you're a singer. She said, oh, my God, how did you know that? I said, you do rhythm and blues, don't you? She said, how did you know that? Now, the way I knew it, guys, is I've dated a lot of singers, and I can recognize someone who has a trained voice in your speaking voice, in their speaking voice. You may not individually be able to do that. I understand that if you don't have the training. But you can do cold readings. You can do something that demonstrates at least the appearance of really understanding her. And at that point, she began to become very fascinated. And that's when I started running pattern language on her. I said, you know, there's something else I can tell you about yourself. She said, what? I said, when you really connect with someone, when you look at someone and you have that moment, that feeling on the inside that lets you know, oh, my God, this was meant to happen. Then what happens is you get really excited and you tend to talk faster and you get a little bit nervous, don't you? And she kind of blushed. She went, oh, my God, that happens all the time. How did you know that? Blah, 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 blah. Well, the reason I knew it is I observed it happening. So right then I sort of slid into pattern language. And she said, how can I talk to you again? She actually used my line on me. She said, well, I want to talk to you again. How can I do that? I said, well, you know, I'm really not very, I really don't like to give out my number to strangers. She said, well, let me give you my number. Blah, 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 blah. Please call me. Blah, blah, blah. So how did that work? Well, the way it worked is I started with a put-on. I told her, you know, I picked the wrong corner to be gay. Now, she actually believes that I am gay. Otherwise, she wouldn't have let me handle her breasts. And I don't recommend you handle girls' boobs. You know, not within the first minute of meeting them. But I've worked that, too. Usually what happens is they get so intrigued with me that later I say, well, you know, I'm not really gay, but I just want to be friends with women, and I don't want them to get the wrong idea about me. I want to make sure I'm comfortable with them before I do anything. So that's one example of using the put-on. But what I'm going to do now is you have so many questions. I'm going to get to some of these questions that have been pre-submitted to me. Here's a really good question. This comes from Terry from Fort Worth, Texas. And Terry says, there's a hotel that has conferences chock full of out-of-town women nearby. It's easy to meet them after business hours as they browse stores, restaurants, tourist spots. But my meetings with them have been random. Any techniques to have more consistent meetings without being a stalker in the lobby? Obviously, it's a golden opportunity I'd like to capitalize on. It's actually a pretty good question. Fundamentally, what Terry is saying is he lives near a location where women come for conferences, and they're only going to be in town for a few short days. So it's a great opportunity for some nice sport seduction. And he wants to know how he can approach them without seeming like he's a stalker in the lobby. Well, one of the things that I would suggest, Terry, is first of all, you correct that notion that you're a stalker. You are not a stalker. You can simply view yourself as the hotel's unofficial greeter. So first and foremost, I would change your attitude about it. If you even think, even in the back of your head, that you're a stalker, that vibe is what's going to go out. What I would do is just imagine that the entire, not just the hotel, but the entire 10, 20 blocks around the hotel are a cruise ship. And you are the social director of the cruise ship, and your job is to make these women feel totally welcome. So first and foremost, give yourself another mental role to play other than stalker. That would be the first thing. The second thing is you want to imagine in your mind, who is your ideal market? You've said that there are a lot of women from out of town, and I accept that. But what if there's a woman there who just happens to be having a drink at the bar and she lives nearby, and she's really hot and you get into her and she gets into you? Are you simply going to then reject her because she doesn't fit your model? So I would broaden your horizons and say, hey, any person, any woman who comes into that hotel or the 10 blocks around it, who's open to sharing something really wonderful, who has a good imagination, who's attractive, any woman who fits that category is going to be someone who might have the opportunity to wind up spending some fun time with me. So I would expand your definition of who you are. I would expand and define your definition of who you're looking for. So don't limit it merely to women who are there from out of town. There could be women visiting that hotel for many different reasons. Those hotels, I live near a couple of hotels, so I've done this myself. Often those hotels are not just for meetings, but they're used for, like, weddings, which are an incredible source of women who are already drunk and ready to have some fun, although I don't believe in using booze. But if she's already drunk, that's a different story. All sorts of events are held at those hotels, parties, celebrations. So don't limit it to business women. Limit it to anyone who happens to be magnetized to that hotel and the surrounding area. That's what I would say. So that's my answer to that question. Let's go to the next one. There are literally, there's close to 200 questions that have come in. This is absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Again, I want to remind you, go to the website, speedseduction.biz, and for the next 12 hours, this offer is only going to be good for 12 hours. We are pulling it down at 7 o'clock in the morning tomorrow, California time. It'll be down. But you can get the Gold Walk-Up DVD, the Fear to Charisma DVD, and the Irresistible Arousal DVD at a 20% discount. So actually, I think it may be 25% discount. I have to talk to my web guy. So go to speedseduction.biz, and you'll see a huge banner there that will tell you more about that offer. Let's go to the next question. This is from Horny Lance in Boston. he says, I feel very self-conscious because I'm 56 and I like to go to dance clubs. Well, I would feel self-conscious too, Lance. Most of the women are in their 20s, and there seems to be a thick, invisible wall that stops me in my tracks, especially when I can't make eye contact. Please advise. Okay, this is a difficult situation. If you are 56 years old and you're going to a dance club where women are in their 20s, you are going to be automatically singled out as the old pervert, the chicken hawk, the grandpa who's looking to get a little action. And I really don't recommend it. However, there are plenty of places you can go where there are young people around where, because of the context of the situation, you have every right to be there. You have as much right to be there as they do. That would include coffee places. That would include public events like hiking trails. There's a place here in Hollywood called Runyon Canyon. Runyon Canyon has more beautiful actresses, singers, wannabe models, starlets per square foot than I think any dance club you would ever possibly see. And it's a hiking area. Anyone can go there. You know, I'm actually thinking of renting someone's puppy and taking that puppy to Runyon Canyon. So I would get out of the mindset that clubs or dance clubs are the only place where a lot of beautiful young women are. It's simply not true. Now, here's a suggestion for you, Lance. Why don't you get your old ass in shape and take a yoga class? Yoga classes, generally speaking, if there are 50 people in the class, 30 will be hot chicks, 15 will be chicks who are okay, not bad, and the rest of them, they'll maybe be like 10 guys, 6 or 7 of which are gay. So, and I would look for a yoga place that has a nearby coffee shop or something like that where they hang out afterwards. But that's what I would do. That's my idea of group theory. A group of 50 people, you're the only guy, you and the gay guy. So I would recommend that for Lance. You know what I'm going to do counterintuitively, just for a moment? I'm going to unmute the call, and we'll see if I can take some live questions. Just for a minute, if it gets too crazy, then I'm going to mute everybody. So I'm going to unmute it, and we'll take a question. Here we go. The lines are unmuted. Let's see if we can get one person to ask a question. Anybody?
Hey, Ron, can you come over to
I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you
use your patterns over the phone? I'm going to
unmute it. Can I use what?
Your patterns on the phone.
Can I use patterns on the phone? Well, let's keep it related to this subject matter, which is picking up and meeting women. So someone ask a question on this subject matter, please.
Hey, Ross, how do you handle group situations, mixed groups?
Okay, mixed groups. That's a good question. I have gotten quite good at dealing with group situations. Let me first tell you what you should not do. Don't assume that the group is going to be cold and rejecting. I was hanging out at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel a couple of months ago, and there were some students in town, and there was a group of maybe 8-9 women sitting by a fire pit. And to me, they appeared to be joking and laughing and having the best time. And one of the students walked up to me. He said, Ross, look at those women over there. I'd like to approach them, but they have their bitch shields up. Now, I looked at them, and I didn't see anything bitchy at all. I saw 8 or 9 women celebrating, having the time of their lives. It might have looked like they had bitch shields up only because they were all focused on each other, so they weren't looking outward. They were not looking outward, and these guys assumed that they were being bitchy. They were just absorbed in the fun time they were having. So I asked myself a question. I thought, what can I notice about them that I can use to create a connection? I noticed one of them was wearing like a little bridal veil, like a bridal hat. Whatever. Lisa, what do they call those things? They're not quite a veil, but the brides cover their head with it.
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, anyway, it was obvious that she was about to get married. So I thought, aha, bachelorette party. So I walked up to this group of women. And I said, I understand someone's getting married. Who is it? And they all pointed at her. I said, ma'am, I'm your male exotic dancer. And, you know, so I did a couple of moves. I said, actually, you know, I saw how much fun you guys were having. What are you doing? And they said, we're playing a game. It's called the three questions game. You have to name 3 men that you would like to have sex with and 3 women that you'd like to have sex with. And it has to be someone famous. So I sat there and I started playing this game with them. And they actually invited me to go out with them. They were going to another location. I was there with some friends, and so I had to decline the offer. But the first thing I would tell you as far as group situations is don't assume that people are bitchy. Don't assume that it's a bitch shield just because they're not paying attention to you at the moment. As far as mixed groups or any of that, here's my idea about group theory. My idea about group theory is, first of all, confidence through compassion, is to understand that we all belong to one group. Whether you happen to be in the same physical location or whether they're talking to you, we all belong to one group. That's called human beings who were born and who are going to die. And so whether a group is initially welcoming or not, I assume they're already members with me and I'm members with them, because in fact, just using the right perspective, it's true. The second thing I would say is I always go into those situations being friendly with everyone. For the first hour, if you're in a group setting, what you're going to do is you're not going to pick up anyone. You're just going to be friendly with everybody, men, women. I'm in Los Angeles, so here you don't know if that woman really is a man or is about to become one or vice versa. Lisa, you understand what I'm talking about, right?
Yes.
And also, as a woman, I think you would agree with me that if you are in a group location, you watch what's going on. You're aware of the men who are sharks and, like, hitting on every woman, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But in contrast, if you see someone who's being friendly with everybody, men, women, beautiful women, ugly women, it doesn't matter, it gives off a different vibe. So counterintuitively, rather than looking to hit on women, first and foremost, I'd spend at least a half hour being friendly with everybody. That's first and foremost. Now, if you want to get into the more magical kind of stuff that I teach in some of my products, I actually believe that you can set it up so as soon as you walk into that room, the vibe you put off is such that any woman who's going to be attracted to you will already be attracted to you the instant you walk in, whether she's consciously aware of it or not. And in fact, your job is not to use your language or your behavior to create the attraction. It's simply to bring it into her conscious awareness. It's already going to be there. But that's pretty advanced magical practice. I'm going to be teaching that in London coming up in September. Yes, we actually have our next seminar is going to be, I'm going to be doing a magic and psychic influence in London, and then the following weekend I'll be doing a speed seduction seminar. So if you want to find out more about that,
I don't know if we want to give out your number now, Lisa, because there's like 2,000 people listening. So you'll be the chief. Send me an email. Just send an email to me via the care of the website, and we'll make an announcement about those seminars. But anyway, that's the first part of my answer. The second part is to be really, really friendly to the guys. In fact, if there's a mixed group, I would go up and talk to the guys first. Be really friendly with everyone. Talk to the guys first, and or talk to the ugly girl first. Talk to the guys and or the ugly girls. I don't believe you have to do the rest of what the pickup artists teach. You don't need to put the other guy down. You don't need to amog him. You don't need to neg anybody or any of it. So that's my answer to that question. Let me unmute it, and we'll take some more live questions. Here we go. Okay.
Criteria for approaching women. If there are a lot of beautiful women, you're obviously not going to approach all of them. Well, maybe you are. I don't know. What would be your criteria for deciding if approaching someone, or is it how you are in the mood at the moment, if you're getting some vibes from the person? How do you...
So your question is, how am I going to determine? Let me mute this again. His question is, what would be my criteria? How would I decide which women I'm going to approach? It's a good question. For me, first and foremost, I pick up on energy. I really do. I pick up on who's, they have to be physically attractive or reasonably so, but then I pick up on vibe. I pick up on who's open, who has a natural sexual energy that's radiating off of them, who's ready now. Part of my affirmations are, it's now my reality that every day I meet women who are so comfortable with me and I'm so comfortable with them that we immediately, after just a few minutes of talking, go home together and have a wonderful time. It's part of my reality. So then I select. I look at vibe and I see who's open, who's having a good time versus trying to have a good time or determined not to have a good time. So that's a good criteria. Who's open? Who's having a good time as opposed to those who are trying to have a good time as opposed to those who are determined not to have a good time? I tend to pick those who are having a good time or who are determined to have one. And there's also something about women who are just naturally sexually open that's different in the way they move. I try to get a feel. I try to watch to see how they move. And women who are really sexually open move in a different way. Their hips are open. Their movements are more fluid or more flowing. And then I watch to see who's really listening. If there's a group of women, I look to see who's really listening to the speaker, paying real attention, and who's off in her head thinking about herself. Obviously, I want to pick the ones who are not in their heads thinking about themselves. I want to pick the ones who are really, truly paying attention. So I hope that makes sense. Let's go to some of the pre-selected questions. I can't answer that one. Oh, Edgar from Buenos Aires. Jesus Christ, someone in Brazil is having trouble picking up women. I find that hard to believe. How to pick up women when they are in a hurry and you are walking behind them? Well, first of all, I don't recommend that you start talking to a woman when you're still behind them.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, someone actually asked me, he said, how do you approach women from behind at night in a fairly lonely place? And I said, my answer was, in a police car. Don't do it. From behind, I would say don't. I would say walk along beside a woman. I've met many women walking along beside them, but I don't think I've met any of them. I had some guy tell me that it wasn't working for him. He's approaching women from behind at night and tapping them on the shoulder. Now, my techniques are very powerful, but I don't want to do things, you know, I don't want you to work against yourself. So that's what I recommend. Here's Zoran from Los Angeles. Zoran, you bad boy. Lots of girls lose interest when they hear that you are married. You don't want to lie and say you're not. So how do you answer the question, are you married? Well, tell the truth. There are women who are out there looking for guys who are itched because they don't want to commit them either. Here's one, Steve from Virginia. Can a guy in his late 50s still have game? Women here are either 25 or married. Well, Steve, I'm shortly going to be putting up some footage of me working with Taylor. Again, beautiful, 18 years old, and she's coming under my touch. So I'm 48, and If I'm not ugly, I'm leaning in that direction pretty hard. I can do it. You can do it. Let's go. Lisa, I'm ugly. Let's go back to the phones.
Can you go over that the boyfriend destroyer response you said
boyfriend
earlier?
Destroyer, boyfriend destroyer. It's not really part of this call, but I'll do one quick boyfriend destroyer.
The one you told us earlier.
Yeah, yeah. Let me. I will. Okay, I will. Boyfriend destroyer is part of an overall belief which says anything she offers me is just information that I can use. So if a woman says to me, well, I have a boyfriend, first of all, I'll diffuse it with humor. I'll say, hey, you don't need to try to convince me that someone else finds you attractive. That's not how I'm going to make up my mind about you. But then I'll say, tell me something. When you met him, was it the kind of thing where you just stopped? You look at this person and you feel the feeling on the inside, and then I nod my head as I look at her. You feel the feeling on the inside that lets you know it's on. And then I'll tap her shoulder with my finger, or I'll tap her arm with my finger. Or is it the kind of thing where it took a little while, where you feel the feelings building, and it's not for a few moments or maybe a little bit longer than that that you realize, wow, you liked him. And then I'll let her answer. Whatever answer she gives me, I'll build on it, and I'll link it back to me. So I just simply steal all the responses that are positive that she had towards him and link them to me. All right, let us go back to the phones.
My question is?
I'll take another question.
Yes, sir. Also,
anybody?
My question is, if a girl answers you that you have interest in her and then she gives you a bitchy look, a very unfriendly look, then what do you do?
Okay, this is Ritesh, isn't it?
Yes.
I recognize your voice. You've been having great success. You got laid like twice in a matter of a few weeks using my stuff. So good for you.
Yes.
You owe me a testimonial, you son of a bitch. Okay, let's get your question. If she initially gives you a nasty look, you don't know what that look means. Maybe she just farted. You know, so I would diffuse it with humor. I'd say, are you trying to tell me that you're not interested yet, or did you just make a really big fart? I would just use it with humor. That's exactly what I would say. I would look and go, so are you trying to tell me you're not interested yet? Notice the yet, meaning she will be. Or did you just make a pretty sizable fart? And now Lisa laughed, but I would diffuse it with humor. Remember, anything she offers you is information you can use or energy you can redirect or a toy that you can play with. Let us go back to some of the pre-submitted questions. Here's a question from Kevin in Washington, D.C. Ross, you walk into a deli or sandwich shop for lunchtime and a beautiful woman is seated quietly eating her food. How do you approach and close for a hot time between the sheets? Well, again, there are four different approaches you can take. You can use a put-on. You can put her on and say something that obviously isn't true, but obviously is meant to get a laugh. You could be very direct. You could walk up. Whenever you're out of things to say, there's always one line you can rely on that I guarantee will open the door. Here's the line, and it will never fail. It's simply being direct. One of my approaches is simply being direct. You walk up and you say, you know, excuse me, I noticed you here, and I realized if I didn't say something, I'd never get to meet you and find out more about you than I already know. And that's going to get the response. Any woman who's halfway worth meeting is going to say, well, what is it that you know? And then you look at her and you kind of pretend to be shy and you say, well, you took my breath away. Isn't that sweet, Lisa? And then you don't ask to sit down. You just sit down. So that's one approach. Simply go up and say, you know, excuse me, but I realized if I didn't say something, I'd never get to find out what you're like, or I'd never get to find out more than I already know. Now, this is an example of simply being vulnerable. It's the vulnerable approach. You're stating what you really think. You know, you're sharing what you thought. You're sharing what is the thought that came into your mind. It's a very good approach if you can do it without being needy. If you can be vulnerable without the other person having to support you, then you open up some big doorways. And so this is also an example of the blurt out. You say what's actually on your mind, but bear in mind, you got to be careful. If your first thoughts are sexual, if your first thought is, oh, my God, I'd kill my own family to get a chance to touch those tits, You don't want to say that. You can't walk up to a girl and say, you know, I was sitting here and I thought to myself, I'd kill my own family for a chance to touch those tits. That is not what I'm talking about. But if the thought that runs through your mind is, oh, my God, she's gorgeous, then blurt it out. I've met some women. I met them. This girl was 25 years old, drop-dead gorgeous, dark hair, blue eyes, pale blue eyes, dark hair, like 5'11". She was a scientist from Canada. What is she? She was a marine biologist from Canada. I met her. She was walking down some stairs. She was walking up some stairs. I was walking down some stairs. And I looked at her, and the first thought out of my mind, in my mind, was style to burn. She had style to burn, and that's, I just blurted it out. I went, style to burn. And she walked by me, and I looked over my shoulder, and she had turned around looking at me. She said, what did you just say? I said, you've got style to burn. And she said, oh, my God, that's so sweet. What's your name? It turned out she had just started to consciously change her style, so it matched, you know, what she was thinking about herself, what I said. So that's an example of just simply blurting it out. So I blurt out what was actually on my mind. So my answer to you, Kev, from Washington, D.C., is to simply say what's actually on your mind. Go up and say, you know, I noticed you here, and I realized if I didn't say something, I'd never get to find out what you're like. My name's Kev. And depending on her response, if she's cold, then walk away. Say, thank you, I just found out, didn't I? So, okay, so if she's cold, you say, thank you, I just found out, didn't I? But if she's reasonably friendly or positive, then you sit down. And remember, the name of this game is not to get every girl you see. Part of this process is screening. I don't want to deal with people who are cold, genuinely cold, not just the first response, but really are genuinely shut down or genuinely unfriendly, meaning it's not their first response, it really is who they are. Great. I don't want to try to get them. Let them eliminate themselves. No problem. So that's a good approach. Walk up and say, you know, I noticed you here, and I realized if I didn't say something, I'd never find out what you're like. If you want to make it a put-on, you could say, you know, I realized if I didn't say something, I'd never find out more about you than I already know. And then they're going to say, well, what do you already know? And you say, well, that you took my breath away. Isn't that sweet, Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what I would say. Or whatever thought comes to your mind. This is an example of one of the 4 points on the walk-up diamond, the blurt out. And the blurt out is you simply say what you're thinking at the moment. Now, another good approach I want to talk about is the implied compliment. Oh, my God. The implied compliment is sort of a cross between a blurt out and sort of a put-on. Here's how the implied compliment works. Rather than saying to the woman, hey, I really admire your style, or I really admire how beautifully you move, you don't say it directly, you imply it. I'd say something, and the implied compliment starts out with some magic words. Those magic words, I'm going to give you 3 magic words, guys. How would you like to hear 3 magic words that would allow you to easily meet and talk to any woman in any circumstance at any time, anywhere? Would that be worth something to you? Here are the magic 3 words. It's just that. It's just that I really admire women with class and style. So I had to say hello. My name's Dick, Dickhead. Now, notice what you didn't do. You didn't walk up and say, I really admire your class and style. You could do that, but then again, she may not be in the mood to accept the compliment, or she may not believe it. But notice when you say, it's just that, I really admire women with class and style, so I had to say hello, you're implying that she must be a woman with class and style because you said hello to her. So it's implied, not directly stated. Now, implication is an extremely powerful way, to bypass resistance. Because for implication to work, they have to interpret it in their own mind. They have to put the dots together and find the meaning in what you're saying. And because they're the ones who are completing the meaning of the thought in their mind, it's perceived by them as being their own thought, and therefore they don't resist it. It's a very, extremely powerful tool. In fact, I want to challenge you guys. For the next week, when you walk up or pick up women, I want you to start everyone with the 3 words, it's just that. And you could say, it's just that I really admire women who carry themselves with discipline and grace, so I had to say hello. It's just that I really admire women with shockingly great tits, So I had to say hello. No, you can't use anything overtly sexual. But again, I want to explain that difference, and I'm going to open the lines in a minute to make sure you understand it. A direct compliment can be okay. To walk up to a woman and say, I just wanted to tell you that I think you're absolutely breathtaking, and I had to say hello. My name's Dick, Dick Face. That's good. But to walk up and say, it's just that I really find, it's just that I really find beautiful women absolutely irresistible, and I had to say hello. Again, you're implying that she's beautiful. You didn't say it. You're implying it. So that is an example of the implied compliment. Let me unmute the lines and see if anyone who understands that or who has questions about implied compliments. I've used it many times. It is one of the most powerful secret weapons in my pickup arsenal, the implied compliment. Let's unmute the lines and see if anyone has any questions about the implied compliment.
Hello? Hello?
Any questions about the implied compliment, how it works?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, you're on the air with Ross. What's your question?
I have a question.
Hello? Yes, go ahead. Speak up.
With the implied compliment, I guess it's something that you notice about her. Like, you honestly love woman.
Okay, good question. What he said is with the implied compliment, is it something you honestly notice about her and honestly admire? Well, yeah, it should be. It should be. Although, you know, if you really want to ham it up, I have some ones that, here are some that almost always work. Rather than complimenting a woman on her physical attributes, like great legs, compliment a woman on how she moves. Compliment a woman on how she moves. Now, I will only say it if I really see it, because for me, how a woman moves and carries herself is a major component of how attracted I am to her. I've seen women who are very physically beautiful to look at in pictures, but they just don't move well. Then I've seen women who are fairly average, but they move so beautifully. It's like a jolt of electricity right to my cock. It's incredible. So, but here are the categories where you can do implied compliments, even if it's not true. Compliment a woman, implied compliment on how she moves. So I'll say, it's just that I really admire women who carry themselves with discipline and grace. So I had to say hello. The other thing is I'll compliment her energy. I'll say, you know, it's just that I really am drawn to women who have beautiful and kind energy. So I had to say hello. Again, it's a compliment on the energy, a compliment how they move. I also like style. So I'll say something like, I really admire women with class and style, so I had to say hello. And again, these are things that are not necessarily her given physical attributes. It's how she moves, what she does with it, how she dresses it up. So, and it makes a huge difference. Implication is very powerful. Put-ons, implications. Now, another approach is what I call comment, question, observation. So you can make a comment on what's going on. I pick up a lot of women in coffee places pretty early in the morning, like 8 o'clock in the women. Caught me 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning at a Starbucks or a coffee bean. And sometimes the women look really tired. They look like they're still half asleep. It looks like they desperately need their caffeine. So I'll say, you know, it looks like you're experiencing those brain won't start. Need caffeine kind of thoughts. Now, that's a funny way of saying, hey, you look like you need a shot of coffee. But it almost always gets a laugh. If it doesn't, then I know that's someone I'm not going to get along with. So it's a way of observing her, but also using a put-on. It's making an observation in a funny way. Another example, I was in the coffee bean, and a woman walks in. She's wearing purple makeup, purple eyeliner, purple hair. I'm not kidding. She had a purple jogging suit, carrying a purple bag, and she had purple shoes. I looked at her, I said, excuse me, but I'm getting a psychic message. Yes, the spirits are telling me you like the color purple. And she said, wow, you're really good. Now, she was so dumb, she actually believed I was really good. It turned out she was a porn star that lived in the marina. But that's an example of a put-on. I hope that makes sense. Okay, we're going to take a couple of more questions. Remember, we do have that special triple threat offer. We have the Fear to Charisma DVD. It will wipe out any fear you may have of women and actually convert it to very attractive vibrational energy. You'll really like that one. We have the Gold Walk-Up DVD, which will teach you how to use these four attraction vibes to meet women anytime, anywhere, and never have to worry about what to say. And then we have the Irresistible Arousal DVD that will show you three amazing touches that will get women steaming hot. They will be soaking their panties within the first 5 minutes, and I'm not kidding. You'll actually see me doing that on this DVD. You can get all three at a very steeply discounted price only for the next, actually, it's only 11 hours now. It started at 7 o'clock. We're taking it down 7 in the morning tomorrow, and I'm not kidding. So go to speedseduction.biz. Speedseduction.biz. The offer is only good for like, actually, 10 hours and 45 minutes. Then we're taking it down. Let's unmute the line and take some more questions. We only have another 13 minutes left on the call. So here we go. We're unmuting the line.
I wish you here.
Take a question.
Once you get your hot girlfriends, how do you handle them? Like your relationship
again?
Management. Once you get your hot girlfriends, that's
a great question, but it's not on topic. Please keep. We'll do that another seminar on that, multiple girlfriend management. But for tonight, let's ask questions about the walk up and the pickup. Anyone have a walk up pickup related question?
How do you handle a woman that asks your age right up front?
How do you handle it when they ask your age right up front? First of all, let me mute this again. My comment is, if you're getting that question right away, you're doing something wrong. I've picked up women who are 18, women who are younger than that. I've had to throw them back. Really, honestly, I've picked up women in their early 20s. I've never, ever, ever been asked that question, ever. So if you're getting asked that question, you're either going to the wrong place, you're like the 50-year-old guy in the dance club full of 20-year-olds, or there's something creepy about your vibe. I've never been asked that question. Never. Never. I mean, not once. I've been asked once I get them into bed or after we've slept together, but I've never been asked that question, for real. So if you're getting that question, I want to talk to you a little bit more. I'm going to unmute the line for you because I want to do a follow-up and ask, where are you meeting this woman? So let me unmute you, and we'll get some follow-up from you.
Okay.
Where are you meeting these women? I want to only talk to the caller who asked that question. Where are you meeting them?
Yeah, just various places. I mean, maybe not right up front, but maybe, you know, in the opening conversation or something, they'll ask how old are you as part of that conversation.
Well, where are you meeting these girls? Where? I mean, there's got to be a...
In the bars.
Bars. Okay, and how old are you?
I'm 48.
Okay, and what do you think the age are of these women?
Anywhere from late 20s. 30, somewhere in there.
That's the first thing they say to you out of your mouth. Well, how are you doing the approach? What are you saying in your initial approach?
Well, I guess when I said right up front, it's not like that's what they asked me, like, within the opener, but, you know, in the conversation, you know, if once I open them, it'll come up in the conversation.
Okay. If that's what's going on, let me mute this again. I would say if that's what's going on, you're doing something incorrectly. You're failing to sufficiently capture and lead their imagination, and probably you're not moving among those four energies. You definitely are not being playful enough, or you're not being vulnerable enough, or you're not demonstrating enough understanding of the world. I demonstrate so much understanding of their world that they forget about my age. They could care less because I'm so intriguing to them that they don't care. I could probably have a unborn twin, dead unborn twin attached to my head, and they wouldn't care. So I would say you're almost certainly not displaying the right energy or mix of energies. That question should not be coming up, unless it's an extreme case. If you're the 55-year-old guy in the dance club of 20-year-olds, then you've got a problem. The other thing you can do is, if you have some female friends, go out with them. That does credential you and makes you less threatening. And if you're going to pick up young women, personally, I do not pick up young women in clubs, because I don't go to clubs. If I do pick them up, it tends to be on the street, coffee places, stores, supermarkets. I picked up a smoking hot 21-year-old athletic blonde who is trying to do her law school application. And I noticed her looking at me, and she was looking at, and I was looking at her. I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "Oh, I'm trying to write my law school application." I said, "Bring it over here." I looked, I said, "This is crap. Who wrote this?" She said, "Well, some girl." I said, "This is awful. Let me write it right now." Now I can't get rid of her. She calls me constantly. And this girl is hot. She's a little athlete from the University of Colorado, a Jewish girl, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 5'3".
Oh, poor you, huh? You
maybe like 105 up. Pounds. And so, but if I had tried to meet her in a bar with her young friends, I probably would have been blown off. So I wouldn't hang out in those kind of places at all. Lisa, you've been listening so patiently, and you've been with, you know, you've been to so many of my seminars. When it comes to this whole topic of meeting women and doing the first approach, do you have any comments or anything you'd like to add?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
You're asking me. I agree with you, though. It's less what a man says as how he looks, his energy, his vibe. You know, honestly, you can stumble and bumble and say the wrong thing, but you do it in a charming way. You look like you're, you know, you seem safe. You seem like a friendly guy. You seem nice. And that makes up for a lot of it. So I would say don't worry too much about the words. If you do get the words, it's really nice, but it's energy, it's vibe, it's the way you come across, your impression. That makes a really
yes.
big difference.
Yes. And again, guys, let me say this. You don't have to be that good at it. You just have to be a little bit better than what women are used to. And I have to say, I am appalled at what most women have to put up with. I feel nothing but the deepest sympathy for most women, because most of what guys throw out there is so stupid, lame. Like Taylor, I said to Taylor, I said, "What do most guys say to you? How's it going? Hey, you're beautiful. Hey, baby. Wow, you got a great body." That's what she gets 24/7. So, guys, you don't have to be Superman. You just have to, you know the story about two guys, two granola lovers, tree huggers. They're in the woods, these two guys, hugging the trees, singing about lesbian seagulls. They're lamenting about how they can never give birth or have a womb or menstruate. Suddenly this bear, this hungry bear, comes charging through the woods. And one of the guys starts to take off running. And his buddy says, "Hey, you'll never be able to outrun that bear." And he said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." So many of you guys are trying to outrun this bear in your mind, this bear of being perfect and smooth and super confident and utterly alpha with women. And you don't. You just have to be able to outrun the other guy. Actually, you don't even have to do that. You just have to present yourself in a way where the women are running after you. And it really mm-hmm. isn't that difficult. So many of you guys are so close to the tipping point. You're so much closer to that tipping point of power and success and joy and fulfillment and choice and variety and even overindulgence with really amazing women, you don't even know how close you are. It really is not that far from you, even though subjectively it may feel that way. Let's open up the lines, and we're going to take one more live question, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Oh, Ross, on that last
yes,
caller,
we'll take one more.
Ross, on that last caller, I would suggest that it's his fear that she's projecting back to him, and that he needs to work on what his subconscious thoughts are.
Hmm. Okay. I'm not
question,
sure.
Let's get a question out here.
Question. Nope. Okay. I think that's going to do it for the live questions. We've got a couple of more of the approved questions. Let's see. Let's go to, I have so many of them. There's so many questions here. Like, you guys have flooded me with these things. Here's one from Mr. DB in Portland, Oregon. That's your first problem. You live in Portland. Ross, when I go out, I get intimidated by other guys who I perceive as being competition. Those who I think are better looking or more attractive than me. How do I overcome this? Well, the way you overcome it is stop viewing anyone as your competition. When you know these secrets, no one is your competition. People are just either left in your dust or they're your admirers. If you feel intimidated by other people up until now, it's because you haven't really understood the power of these tools. But when you stop, imagine if what I'm saying really is true, and then you step into a future where you've already enjoyed the power of these tools. Look back on the last 6 months as having been the start of it. You can then realize that, like an old suit of clothes that no longer fit you, you can drop away intimidation. And instead, clothe yourself with the righteous power of Sarge. Yes, my friends. So, again, please go to the website, speedseduction.biz, and you'll see that special offer. Let me take a couple more of these pre-approved questions. Let's see. La, 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 la. Here's another one. Can a guy in his late 50s still have game? Yes, I've answered that one. Let's see. Oh, here's one. Ross, I don't believe these techniques will work on women here in London. Women here in London are much more skeptical and unfriendly. I get this excuse from virtually every city. People in New York, well, your stuff would never work on New York women. People in Tel Aviv, your stuff would never work on Israeli women. It must not work on any women because everyone all over the globe says it won't work on them. But, in fact, it works on all women. I've gone to London and been universally received in a very friendly way. So I think that's just bullshit. These techniques work with all women everywhere. You may have to change a few things culturally, but for the most part, it's the same principles. These are principles of the human mind and human communication. Here's a question from Denver. When women are in a group, how do I get to the hottie and get her phone number? Well, why would you aim at a phone number? What if you could be making out with her and take her home that night? Why would you aim at a phone number? I forbid you guys for the next week from getting phone numbers from any woman who hasn't at least made out with you really well for at least 10 minutes. You have to have a good, solid 10-minute makeout before you even accept or ask for a phone number. And don't approach the hottie first. Why should you? Approach the whole group. Be friendly with everyone in the place, not just the group. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. Boy, you guys are just obsessed with beautiful women in groups. I don't even want to – I've already addressed that. God, you guys are bombarding me with questions. It's crazy. Oh. Here's David from Detroit. Can something like the Don Juan DeMarco opener work? Have you ever seen Don Juan DeMarco? He walks up, takes a woman's hand, kisses it, looks in her eyes, and talks about milk coming out of her breasts. I don't know. That's only the movies. Don Juan DeMarco is an example of a beggar. Remember, speed seduction is the smart guy's way to get the women you always wanted, the ones you really want right now, without the five B's, bullying, begging, buying, BS, and booze. And begging is what Don Juan DeMarco is doing. A very flowery, very articulate, very poetic form of begging, but it's begging nonetheless. Hitch is another example of creative begging. Absolutely horrible stuff. All right, so we're going to wrap the teleseminar up. I want to thank everyone for being on the call. I'm going to try to do at least two or three of these a month, and also we're going to be breaking these up into smaller podcasts. Again, we do have that special offer, my triple threat pickup offer. Go to the website, speedseduction.biz, and click on that big leak banner at the top of the page, and you'll see it. We're only going to keep that going until 7 a.m. California time tomorrow, and then we're taking it down. I want to thank everyone for being on the call, and I want to thank Lisa for helping out introducing me. We'll see you around, and do send me an email if you want to find out about my London seminars coming up in September. Thanks a lot. And remember, you don't get laid. I don't get paid. This has been Ross Jeffries saying, Sarge on.